Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of that cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were terribly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man except Jesus only. And as they came down from that mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be raised again from the dead. So far the Holy Gospel.
Thank you. Amen.
My sermon theme this morning is the transfiguration of Christ. And it's based upon our gospel lesson. And I would like to read the first verse of that lesson. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was as white as light. So far, please be seated. When you read in Scripture about great events have occurred on mountaintops. When the flood subsided, Noah's Ark rested on Mount Ararat. When God tested Abraham's faith, he gave him instruction to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. When God called Moses to lead the people of Israel, he appeared to him in a burning bush on Mount Horeb. And of course we know the Ten Commandments were given to Israel on Mount Sinai. From this morning's gospel, we learn that the transfiguration of Christ took place on some high mountain, possibly Mount Hermon, or Mount Tabor. We are told that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up into a high mountain. And while there, Jesus was transfigured before them. An actual change took place in Christ's body. The body, the human nature of Christ, was all of a sudden glorified. Christ's entire body, for a very brief moment, shines forth with a heavenly glow. We also read that Moses and Elijah appeared, and they were talking with Christ. The topic of their conversation was the approaching death of Christ, and we see this from Luke's account. Moses and Elijah represented the law and the prophets. In other words, they represented the Old Testament. You see, every acceptable sacrifice was only accepted through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on that cross. At this moment, silence was the order for the disciples. But as we know, Peter couldn't keep silent. He did not have that gift. And wishing to say something when he should have kept his mouth shut, made a foolish remark. He suggested that it would be a good idea to make this place a permanent situation and to build three altars, one for Christ, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, the voice of God the Father from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Listen to what he says. And when the disciples heard the voice of God, they were terrified. When Jesus Christ assured them, he said, "Arise and don't be afraid." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one except Jesus Christ. He stood there before them again as they were accustomed to seeing him. When we speak about the transfiguration of Christ, we must do so with caution, I would say. And the reason I say that is because unbelievers are quick to condemn the entire story of the transfiguration. They don't believe it's real, but only a figment of the disciples' imagination. But the Bible doesn't say this. The transfiguration of Christ really did happen. And we accept it as a fact, just the way it's recorded in Holy Scripture. Now, although we cannot understand totally the meaning of the transfiguration, there is a lot that we can't understand by it to begin with. The transfiguration certainly had a great meaning for Christ. Jesus had been sent on a great mission, and this mission involved the salvation of the entire world. And to accomplish that, Christ was made subject to the moral law for us. He was sent to fulfill it perfectly for us. And at the transfiguration, God the Father said of Christ, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." From these words, we learn that God the Father approved the work that Jesus Christ had come to perform. By laying down his life for sinners, Christ was doing something which was well-pleasing to God the Father. And to Jesus, it was reassuring and encouraging to have his Father speak of him and glorify him. You see, the transfiguration of Christ was a stamp of approval, so to speak, which God the Father placed on Jesus and his redemptive work. The world will be saved through Christ's sacrifice on that cross. Also, it establishes for us that Christ is the very Son of God. As God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son." Now, while we should think of Christ as a true man, we should never forget that the Christ of Nazareth, the Christ of Gethsemane, and the Christ of Calvary was and is the eternal Son of God, God in human flesh. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He also says, "I and my Father are one." A great mystery that we will never understand this side of heaven. Secondly, it establishes for us that Jesus is the one and only mediator between us and God. God the Father says concerning him, "Hear ye him." Listen to what he has to say. Thirdly, it establishes for us that Jesus is our all-sufficient Savior. God the Father was satisfied with the work that Jesus was doing, and that was the redemption of the entire world. He approved of his life and his suffering and his death. Therefore, the salvation that Christ won was sufficient, was complete, for it was God's wrath that had to be appeased and God's law that had to be fulfilled. All of this Christ did for us. He didn't need it. He did it for us. And while there remain many things which we Christians do not really understand, we remain undisturbed because we know and believe that all things work together for good to those who love God, and all of us here this morning love God. We also know that the day will come when all who love the Lord will be with him in heaven. Holy Scripture tells us that the bodies of the saints will be like unto his glorious body, and we shall dwell with God in the joys of heaven forever. And my dear Christian friends, this is most certainly true. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding abide with us here this morning and extend itself into the joys of eternal life heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Cast me out always from
minutes, but first let's have a prayer for Cal Cooper and Jack Hack. Both are going to start new treatments, and we pray that the good Lord will work through those to eradicate the problem that they are having. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning on behalf of Jack and Cal, who are going through some serious illness, and the medicine that they are receiving is quite potent. We pray that if it is your will, that you will heal this disease that is causing all of this pain and suffering. Give strength, of course, to their wives, Jan and Deb. And give us all the assurance that you are with these gentlemen, and that you will give them the strength that is needed to simply take one day at a time. We want to thank you for the gift of medicine that you have given us that takes care of our physical need. But of all, we thank you for your Son Jesus Christ, who has taken care of our spiritual needs. Because where there is faith in Christ, there is the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. We turn Jack and Cal over to your care, Father. We know that they are in good hands and they are in yours, and nothing shall ever separate them from your love. We approach your throne in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and give rest unto their souls, we pray. Let us experience your love of the heavenly feast that you have prepared for us here on earth. Keep us all from impenitence and unbelief, so that no one will partake of this holy sacrament to their damnation. Take off from us the spotted garment of our sinful flesh, our self-righteousness, and give us the garment that has been purchased with your holy precious blood. Strengthen our faith and increase our love and hope. And after this life, grant us all a place at your heavenly table, where we shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
We continue with hymn 307. Please be seated.
Oh,
thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God. And now do we praise you that you did send unto us your only begotten Son, and that in him being found in the passion of the man, you did manifest the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Jesus Christ.
God strengthen, preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart from the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
31 of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that was shed for all of our sins.
Now may this body and blood strengthen and preserve you, keep you in the one true faith and life everlasting. Amen. Depart in the Lord's peace. Amen.
Amen.
For the rest of all of our sins. And his body and blood
beseech thee that of thy mercy, that you would strengthen us toward, through faith as, strengthen us the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth and with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Oh,